Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of Hunting Charles Manson, Lise Wheel. With Gina Grad on news, Bob Bryan on sound effects, and Larry Miller joins us for another round of the hypothetical road trip game. And now, the only man with a family more fucked up than the Manson family, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We rely on you. We count on you. All right. I want to thank Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. UFC Fight Pass. Go to UFC.tv/Carolla. Castrol Challenge, Castrol Oil, and Purple Mattress. I'll get into all that soon. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Oh, by the way, I just didn't wipe myself.
God damn it.
Larry Miller in studio.
I was quoting somebody.
We are going to try to play the hypothetical road trip game with Larry Miller. I do not believe I have Larry's plugs. Chris and Dylan, you guys may want to think about getting here earlier. Feel like we're up against it a little sometimes here. Dylan, Chris, maybe a little earlier.
Hey.
I don't have Larry's plugs.
You know what?
Okay, I'm getting them.
We should get here 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Whatever the number is that's not going to make us up against it, let's do that number.
I agree.
Now execute. Yes.
I have Larry's plugs.
Go. Yeah, I know. You shaved them all off. See? Pioneer in the hair plug world, everybody.
See, now that's funny. How is that not funny?
We got hypothetical road trip. There's some doozies on here. One very near and dear to my heart. There's so much to get into. My 12-year-olds are turning 12-year-olds
12.
Today, and that's why we're calling them 12. I was thinking...
That's wasting my time?
Where were we all at 12?
Oh.
Heading into the 7th grade, which then marked probably the worst stretch
yep.
for young Adam Carolla.
Not Brian Bishop!
It was brutal.
I think we can all agree on that
one. I was heading from Colfax...
Show the picture, Chris.
I was heading from Colfax Elementary into Walter Reed Junior High, and it was tough sledding.
Yeah.
Gina Grad?
Rough times, man. 6th and 7th grade were probably the worst I had. I didn't have a sister, so I didn't know how to do my bangs, quote unquote. So my hair was a mess. My teeth were 3 feet in front of me. I was gangly, spindly, just nerdy. It was a mess.
Mm-hmm. Larry Miller.
Well, first of all, I was gorgeous.
Sure.
Sure.
And you know what, though? That time, same for me of... You're leaving 6th grade, going into 7th grade. I had a lot of friends in elementary school, and we walked to elementary school and walked. The junior high and the high school were together, grades 7 through 12, and that was the same thing. Walk meaning a block and a half away.
Yep.
So you know what? It was terrific. I think about that. They've called me back. They're very sweet there. I got an award for something. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing when you're in show business. I don't remember what it was for, but I got an award.
It was for something. Yeah. Brian, you were heading into the seventh grade.
Yeah, well, middle school age. I'm not going to break any ground here by saying middle school was all, middle school is awful for everybody, but middle school was a miserable time for me. I had two friends, Kenny Borkwin and Joe Knipp, one of whom did not go to my school, so I was a lonely boy.
But you had a thick head of hair.
I did, but a tragic-looking figure, as you can see. Oh, boy. And all I had at that point in my life was Little League Baseball, Saturday Night Live, and WWF wrestling. That's all I had. Wow. I had two friends, one of whom wasn't at my school, and you're looking at it. And of course, the infamous.
Not Brian Bishop. Yeah.
But I will say this: I got a reprieve coming to me. Stacey Dran, oh, the fetching Stacey Dran, who uttered those famous words, is a resident of the Seattle area and will be at our live show in Seattle.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, it's going to be great.
We must bring her up on stage.
In her defense, she reached out to me and apologized, and I said, "Well, please, no."
For me, I could not read or write, so I could sort of fake my way through the fifth grade and the sixth grade without the ability to read or write. You'd think they'd find out, but it was a lot of tetherball and not so much conjugating verbs and sentences and things like that. But when I got to junior high, it was time to read and write, and I couldn't read or write. So I became like a Murano, one of the folks who was of the Jewish faith, but pretended. I'm doing this for Larry Miller. Pretended that he was Catholic or Christian so he wouldn't be carted off, in other words. And this isn't World War II. This is
Spain?
Pre-that.
Inquisition.
Yes, I became a Murano. It was like I lived in the shadows. I hid, but in a weird place, I hid in plain sight. Like I would just enter, I'd always be in the middle of the line. And no one would ever know that I couldn't read or write. But I knew it was going to be a super uphill slog all the time because the only parts of the tests I could take were the multiple choice or the A and B.
You knew A, B, and C, and D.
I could do true or false, but it would take me so long to read the question because I read
problems.
So slowly I'd have to drag my finger along the Scantron sheet. I would end up just like filling one out, but at least it looked like I was doing something.
And God forbid the question was like, which of these are true? A and B, B and C, both A and neither.
None of the above.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Some of the above.
Yep. So, that's when it really started to come undone for me. Also, my family was simultaneously coming undone, like big time. My mom was sliding into her biorhythm wheel and Zorback, her hippie friends, and yelling freak out in her room. And my dad was living in his A-frame shitbox that was 631 square feet in North Hollywood. And my sister had run away from home. Like everything was just a flat out mess. And that was it. Like, I just remember thinking, ugh. And my hair started going crazy. It was a mess. Yes.
By the way, I just thinking, with the Muranos in Spain, it always interested me that any time in history, can you imagine, by the way, how rough it was for the Jews to say, yes, we'll convert. But what interests me every single time in history is that it's not that after they did that, suddenly everything smoothed out.
Right. Never.
It's just really
never became smooth sailing. Yeah.
There was a rough patch.
Yeah, there's no time of just, well, is it good now? No, stupid. It's the same thing. And you know what? Just hang them all now anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it was a tragic time, but what would you do? What would anyone out there do if you suddenly, because you were threatened with death and then you change? And you get death. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not exactly...
Yes.
It wasn't a panacea.
We've been chased out of a lot of places.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's what I was, though. I was a reading Murano. I was a moron. Murano. Like, I was just living amongst those who could read and write. And I wish I had glasses. Why? A, it would have made me look smarter, but B, I could have said, I don't have my glasses the end of the year when they're like, hey, here's my yearbook. Go ahead. And everyone's writing all this stuff. And I was like, be cool or something, something that was within my world, something sure. I knew I wouldn't spot. Misspell. Yes.
All letters in the first half of the alphabet.
Oh, hi.
Right.
By the way, there's no good history about just one more word on the Muranos. There are no good documentaries.
Glad I brought that up.
There's nothing on the History Channel. Yeah. Hey, look at that. They all have a white thing with a cross on it. Yeah. You know, and that everyone is still saying, well, when did they go to the Middle East? You know, there's nothing that comes up about any group that would say, well, good. I'm glad they converted.
I smell the next documentary from Cleveland.
I do too. All right, Max Pata, get the screens up and running, please. And possibly show up earlier so that we're ready to go.
You got it.
Yep. All right. UFC Fight Pass. I'll tell you about these guys. First, to see the future of UFC, Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series is back for a second season exclusively on UFC Fight Pass. Fighters get the opportunity to earn a UFC contract on the spot from Dana White himself. Starting June 12th, every week, best undiscovered talent and MMA will compete live. Probably no Muranos in there, but there may be. Just download the UFC Fight Pass app or go to UFCFightPass.com. Watch anywhere. Watch anytime. Right now, for my fans, head to UFC.tv/Corolla to sign up and watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series for only $14.99. We love the USC. And we love Dana White. I actually ran into him at the Andre the Giant doc and had some nice words with him. It is UFC Fight Pass. Dawson.
Just head to UFC.tv/Corolla for the special two-month offer. Until August 7th, you'll be able to watch Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series live every week. Don't wait. Go to UFC.tv/Corolla and lock in the special $14.99 price to watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series and gain access to the largest on-demand fight library in the world exclusively on Fight Pass.
All right. Let's see. Brian Koppelman is due to call in. I should probably get a sheet on him too, Max Zapata.
Chris is going to start coming in the day before.
what's that folded up sleeping bag in there?
We had stuff to do this morning, but some days you have to show up earlier than others.
This is a terrible mistiming on my part. We did CarCast right before this, and I was up against it ever since.
Yep.
You know what might work for you? Become a Murano.
Yeah.
I'll think about that.
You already got the moron bar down.
All right. All right. So you'll get me Brian Kaltman's sheet as well. I'll tell you guys, Portland Aladdin Theater, second show tomorrow night. Couple tickets left for the second show. First show sold out. Second is not. We're taping a live stand-up special there. So come on out and say hi. Live shows everywhere. Aforementioned Seattle, Moore Theater, September 13th. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing a live podcast there.
And featuring us and Stacey Duran.
That's right. And we got all that to do. We also have, we have the full, I don't know where Max Pass now running out. We have the full Shitting on the Point song, Brian's Shitting on the Point song, which we want to play as well.
Yeah, let's play that.
And we'll get over there and do that.
So what are the kids doing for their birthday? I imagine it's just a simple and sort of tasteful small ice cream party, or maybe just, you know, a couple of friends spend the night.
Inside the food truck.
It's funny because Natalia was up early-ish, which lets you know something's going on, because normally she's just in their bedroom until you come roused her. It's like a boys' night at Dave and Buster's and a girls' night at Buster Hyman's.
Oh.
And unfortunately named.
Yeah. I was going to say.
write that down for one of my themed restaurants. Let's see if we can.
It's in the mall next to Mr. Fister's.
I need angel investors. Let's see if we can get this going. No. It's all just a bunch of those coin-operated bucking broncos you sit on out front of the supermarket.
It's a pogo sticks.
That's right. And here, oh, and you eat liver because it's high in iron. Okay.
You know how...
Like liver on that pizza?
Sure.
Yeah, sorry.
How stupid can you be in show business or as a comedian? I didn't know for... And I traveled, like you, around the country and for a long time. I didn't know for 8-9 years... what the word Hooters meant.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I thought, oh, well, Hooters, it's a restaurant. And people used to, you know, wink, wink and give you the elbow. Hey, there's a Hooters here. Want to go to that? Well, why would I want to go to Hooters?
Owl-themed.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. And I didn't get it. And then I got it and went there. And you know what? Well, it's okay. But, I mean...
Larry's an admirer of the female form, the classic Rubenesque.
And who doesn't like biscuits? But
yeah,
I mean,
So I don't know. I got up. I had 1,000 podcasts to do, and then Mike Lynch is flown into town, and we're working on the stand-up show and the presentation, and so I have a whole bunch of homework. So it was just announced that the kids will be out having fun. I shall underwrite the endeavor,
and
no one will be home when I return. That's wow. That's basically how it works. And as far as the kids go, as long as somebody is footing the bill for the hot wings and the pizza and the ball pit, they're all right without daddy. I've done that math a long time ago.
It's preferable.
Yeah, same here.
Yep. All right, so we have the hypothetical road trip. Brian Koppelman is, well, you'll put him up when he calls in.
Yeah.
And he can play along, too. let's do it, Larry. This is something we started during the terrestrial radio show probably over a decade ago now. And I got 3 solid ones right here. And I feel good about this.
About Larry's chances?
Yes.
Do you see fear in my eyes?
No.
Because I get stronger and smarter every time.
Yes. Little jaundice, no fear. Here we go.
It's the hypothetical road trip game.
But no fear.
Possible fear of jaundice, but not that's redundant.
Yeah, but not this.
Not this. All right.
Yeah, no wrong answers.
You're leaving the Santa Monica Pier. You're going to Epcot Center. Someone's going to be your passenger for that ride, that road trip, and that vehicle.
Right.
Gloria Allred or Camille Cosby.
Ooh.
I had a funny conversation with Alec Baldwin on Tuesday of this week. So I told you guys I was sitting in the makeup chair, and he sort of came up behind me, and he slapped me in the back, and he was talking about his new talk show and whatever. And he said, talking about different guests. Oh, I think about getting De Niro. And he said, we just shot Gloria Allred. And I said, it's about time.
And finally, then, steps in front of a camera.
And he chuckles.
Not many. All right. Gloria Allred versus Camille Cosby.
Ooh.
To start this easy, by the way, is not funny. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But let me jump in.
Mm.
It would always be Gloria Allred because, number one, she and I have worked together a couple of times on radio shows, and I found her just off the air is very interesting and kind, and we would have so much to talk about because she's a good talker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know I haven't met Camille Cosby. I think that the things she would have to talk about now are probably very touchy, like prison, but I mean that. So I would always go with Gloria Allred, and as you can see in the picture, by the way, there she's wearing red. She is all red.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute!
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute!
No.
Hold on!
Seemed reasonable.
Hold on!
Okay. First off, at some point she'd went to swing by Kathy Griffin's house because she promised she had to drop off some paperwork. She just needs to get a couple of initials. It's always business about her. She needs Kathy to initial some paperwork, number one. Number two, Camille, this would be the greatest thing in the world because they'd say, Larry, what do you do? And you'd go, I'm a comedian and an actor and a comedic actor and a stand-up comedian. And they'd go, how long have you been working in this industry? And you'd go, 40 years. And she'd go, how long you been married? And you'd go, 36 years. And she'd go, Jesus Christ. So I'm doing some math. You've roofied over 2,000 women? And you'd go, not a one. Yeah. And she'd go, what? And you go, no. Been
very, go for the numbers again. 36 years.
Very dedicated to my wife for how long have you been married to Larry Miller?
25 years.
25 years. And she'd be like, are you serious? And you'd be like, yeah. And so, are you saying you don't have roofies on you now? And you'd say, no. And she'd be like, so you got to swing back and pick up your roofies. You forgot your roofies. And you'd go, no. And the fly would just come down and she would begin performing fellatio in a way that was so grateful that you've never received in your life.
Again?
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yet again?
It's an oversight.
But you know what, though? That's pretty good, though. Yeah, so true. you've given 2,000.
She's doing the roofie math. 40 years. Let's see. So figure like between 18 and 36 a year times 40. Let's just figure. Let's say 2,000. Let's just figure 100. And you'd be like, not a one.
You're way off.
No.
Wow. Like, what appreciation. You know who would be buying the Sonic Burgers at every drive-thru all the way to Florida? That's it would be Camille for you.
Well.
So I'm sorry. Anyway, moving on.
It's okay.
It's okay.
We can't live in the past.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, how did she get through the roofie battle?
How did Camille? Yeah.
Did she just pass by that? And
she was already there.
She was there. You mean, she's probably consensual.
Yeah.
I mean, how did she avoid being roofied?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she built up a roofie tolerance. Lynette has built up a roofie tolerance. I can't roofie her anymore.
Like Iocane powder.
Doesn't affect her anymore.
In a weird way, she looks forward to
She's actually stronger on roofies. When I want to get her to mop, I give her some roofies, and she's right in that kitchen, spick and span. All right. Let's see. Person number 2, 0 for 1, sorry.
That's all right.
We'll see the best of 3. There's still a chance.
I'm not
sad. You can take down the pictures of the people who are done with their Max Panna. Person featured on Naked and Afraid versus person featured on My 600-Pound Life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Mm.
That's a
wow.
Holy mackerel. Mm-hmm. Normally, I can't watch Naked and Afraid because, well, you know, seems like a nice fella, but he's naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see him, and that's the beginning and the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with women. They walk around. They always phase out the areas there that they make them smoky looking. And on the other hand, the fellow on the left, I'm sorry to say, has got to have a salad once in a while. I mean, he's got to,
it's a lady, I think. But
no, so no, for sure.
I'm gonna go with.
She looks like if Dakota Fanning really let herself go.
Wow,
like really let herself go in a big way. In a big way.
There aren't many ways and times you get to say, "Holy mackerel," and really mean it. But that's one of them. So I will go with. Always someone from Naked and Afraid, because at least to talk about across the country, I could start each conversation by saying, so what are you, crazy?
Right.
Well, come on!
It seemed sound. It
Maybe
did.
Maybe he's crazy. Come on!
No.
Don't do that!
You got a naked. First off, you have a velour interior, and this guy's got his back sack swinging to and fro, and you're going to Florida. High humidity state.
That's true.
So
that's gonna be tough come Houston.
Yeah.
With the velour interior and the humidity in the air.
Louisiana alone is going to be a mess.
You, ruin your car.
You got the windows rolled down because you're trying to save on the AC with the mileage, and this guy's naked. And then what happens when the cop pulls you over? How are you going to explain this?
Good point.
Hey, that's Larry Miller and
some young naked boy.
Next thing you know, we got a Fred Willard situation on our hands over here.
You had me at velour.
The 600-pounder. The 600-pounder is going to know where every good fast food place is. I'm feeling Chick-fil-A.
That's
good news.
Right.
There's one 20 miles off the highway.
Right.
That poor thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least. Oh, okay. Right. He's a little crazy, and he's. Oh, look, I got a spear. I'm tough. Well, you know what? Just shut up. But
all right. Well, I'm sorry. 0 for 2. Let's see if we can salvage this one. Let's go out on a high note. This is a very personal one, and I'll be redundant. It's personal to me.
Yes.
Adam's mom or Adam's dad?
Whoa.
Oh, boy. Look at these two, so deeply in love.
Both a beacon of joy.
A beacon of joy.
Oh, again, holy mackerel. You know what? I would go with your mom because in the world of maleness, I already know you. Mm. I like you. I don't need to get any more insight from him as to what Corolla world is like. And so I would go with your mom because she at least see with the hand she has on the face there in that picture. She's just she's heard it all, seen it all, and you know what? Doesn't need any of it all. So she and I could have conversations, I'll bet, that don't involve the Corollas at all.
It's her favorite subject.
Come on!
No.
Come on!
My mom is a full-blown bummer. My dad would at least bring his flugelhorn, and he could play a little Chuck Mangione for you.
Talk about psychotherapy.
Yeah, or just...
interesting clients.
Or maybe you just stumbled on to a good Chicago song, something horn-driven that he could just kind of play along to.
He's a horn man?
He plays the flugelhorn. So you got that. Also, he's a light man. He doesn't weigh a lot. It's not going to cost you a lot in the mileage department. My mom would be constantly talking to you about every state you pass through. She'd explain the indigenous people here and how we rape them. Oh. That's a bummer. You know what I mean?
There's a logistical problem, too. Your mom has a lot of eating restrictions, whereas your dad, he doesn't eat much. You know, you pick up a couple of raisins here and there, and we're good.
You get one box of golden raisins, and he'd be good for the entire run.
Well, she may have a point that you reminded me of like a 1963 Playboy party joke of the Roman that we used to – somebody's – one of my friend's dads had Playboy. Mm-hmm. So he'd always get the centerfolds and bring them over. And the party joke was that I remember the Roman general saying to his men after the big battle, all right, now, men, we won and we took the city and we're going to go in now and we're going to kill all the men and rape all the women. And for God's sake, this time, let's get it right.
All right, I'm sorry, 0 for 3. Brian Koppelman is on the line. Of course, the genius behind Billions and Rounders and so many other projects we love. He's a big Larry Miller fan. Brian?
I am a huge Larry Miller fan.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Larry, man, there's just They All Jump is still, I will say, I watch your They All Jump scene, I don't know, once a month since the movie came out, basically.
Oh, that's great. That's the movie. For goodness sake! It's one of the
Chris
Elliott movies.
Best in Show.
I should know this. If you're in the thing, you ought to know the name.
The head popped off like it was spring loaded.
That's right. Yeah.
That's one of the greatest scenes of all time. Adam, do you know that movie?
Yes, I do know Best in Show.
Where Miller is the guy who talks them off the roof when they're going to jump, and Eugene Levy says, "How often do they jump?" You know, they all jump.
I'm the tri-state man who's always called as the expert for people who are going to jump.
The underrated 10 things I hate about you, Dad.
Yep, absolutely.
Very strong performance. Always great.
And one of the great stand-ups of all time. I've seen Larry do stand-up many times. So, yeah, this is super, super fun. Adam, I have to say, and then we can talk Billions, but, dude, the last time I was there with you, and you told me this thing about never washing your hands, and I've heard you say it before, but sitting with you and hearing you say it, like, for me, being, though I'm an atheist, you know, the Ashkenazi Jew is hardwired in me, and to us, washing your hands, I think the only thing more sort of holy than washing your hands a lot is getting into a professional school better than dentistry, and I don't understand how. So I mean, dentist, it's like, well, fine, you got to do better than that. But here's the thing: I was walking down the street. This is true 2 days ago, and it's not as good as Miller's story. But walking down the street and getting beat up, I just dropped something. It's not going to be that. But I was walking down the street and I dropped my iPhone, and a little bit of loose dog shit got on the case. And I picked it up and I threw out the case. I literally took the thing off, threw out the case, and then bought Purell and used it. So how would you – I just want to understand, Adam, how you would handle that moment. And Larry, I want to know how you'd handle it too.
Okay.
I had – well, it's funny. I might throw it in the dishwasher. Now, I had the professor come in here on Take a Knee, the Indian guy's name I always screw the pooch on.
It's Naveen.
Naveen Jain. And he basically said, don't put anything in the dishwasher. You need stuff. You need germs. You need the germs. A study just came out last week that said kids that are too clean have higher chances of getting cancer they're older. Germs are not our enemy. They're our friends. Some germs aren't, but most are. And we need the bad ones even so they can do battle with their own later on in life. So it's not because I don't have any regard for my health. In a weird way, I have the ultimate regard for myself health, and I want to expose myself to as much as I possibly can. We did a bit on the Man Show once where I said, what if we just went down to the racetrack and we put a $20 bill and floated it in the toilet with a little yellow liquid in there? What percentage of guys would reach in and get it? And they all did. And I said, what if we added a Duke into that same bowl and they still all went and got it? So believe me, those winners at the track know something. So what
happens? You drop the thing. Do you wash your hands? You pick it up. You're washing your hands. You're just rubbing them on your jeans and continuing on with your day.
I would find some water and wash my hands. I may not even use soap. If I could find some warm water, I would be fine. But nobody gets sick as little as I do. I am never ever sick. The Billions, by the way, season 3 finale airs this Sunday, June 10th, 9 o'clock Eastern on Showtime. I've told Brian,
yes, sir.
Everybody loves Billions. And in a weird way, and I don't know if you feel this, but there's certain shows you bring up and everyone just kind of goes, a few years ago or a year ago, Stranger Things. Everyone goes, Stranger Things, Stranger Things. Billions is you're the Alf of the new generation.
Hold
which
on,
is,
it gets better.
Nobody spoke openly about how funny Alf was. They were talking about Seinfeld and Cosby or whatever. But if you ever cornered someone and went, I like Alf, they'd look around and go, I like Alf too a lot. But they didn't crow about it from the mountaintops. Every time I bring your name up and I go, he does a show called Billions, everyone goes, I love that Billions, show. Yeah. They didn't bring it up to me before. It's just if you bring up Billions, everyone will go, I love that show. But it's not a Game of Thrones thing where everyone is yelling about how much they love Game of Thrones. I don't know if you've experienced that, Brian, or what we could even chalk that up to.
Yeah, no, it's I have, and it's amazing. The way that we realized it is that all these guys in the NBA and all the professional golfers started amongst themselves just tweeting or talking about it, and then people brought it to our attention, exactly the same thing. It's like the favorite show of the professional. I was just 2 days ago, my phone rang. I don't know this person, and Rory McIlroy was on the other end of the phone, a guy I know, just thought it would be a gag to have Rory call directly, and he was like, I love this show, man. It's so great. Like, so that sort of thing is happening, and that's how you, and you realize it. Wait, but Miller didn't answer the question about what he would do if he dropped the phone in the dog shit.
Well, I'm ready here. You know what? That's first of all, just you telling that is going to stay with me forever. And and I'm not. That's not a brag. That's a tragedy. But I understand what you mean, and I would toss the phone case out and immediately wash my hands and go into the nearest bar and start drinking. But
you would, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, that's my answer for everything. So. You know, I do hear you. You don't want to. I don't want to see it touch that, yeah. And I don't want to inadvertently touch that. And I don't need the extra $39 for another phone case.
But Corolla is just made of different stuff. That's my. You have to know, Adam. I literally thought of you as I was.
Oh, as you're dropping your phone into your poop. Yeah, I don't know if you got cut off. I will say this. Larry, I don't want to shoot holes in your theory about your phone cover for $39, but how about the 7 hours it takes you to bedazzle it after you get the $39 phone cover? You need to factor that in.
Adam, there are things that are either fun to you or they're not.
Right.
Oh, come on! no.
Hey, yes, go ahead, Brian.
Real quick, before we go too far, Brian, I'd be remiss not to mention that Brian Koppelman told a great story on Twitter that became a Twitter moment.
Yes.
He got a whole bunch of runs. Someone pitched him an idea, Adam, at your mom's funeral?
Yeah, I mean, it's you should like link to it somewhere because it's a long story. I don't want to, but yeah, Adam, I was. I'll tell you quickly because you will find this just amazing. This is at my mom's funeral. It happened 10 years ago, but someone mentioned yesterday online getting pitched stuff, and I basically was like, I think I have the story that none of you guys can top. My mom dies. My sister's calling me. We knew she was ill. I drive out to Long Island. My dad's there. Of course, I give him a hug. And then all the people start showing up at the house. I see my dad. My dad and I go and sit on the front porch. Now, on the front porch is where he and my mom would sit for years. You would drive up to their house. That's where they were sitting together. They're married 40 years. My dad had lost his wife for 40 years 4 hours earlier. I had just lost my mother. And we're sitting there on the front porch in silence, just looking straight ahead, breathing, when suddenly out the front door, like behind me, I feel a presence. You know that thing where you know it's not a friendly that's
yes.
behind you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there, again, 4 hours after my mom died, and I just feel this presence. And it's my, I can feel it. It's this guy, Alan. He has eyes like Marty Feldman's, and he's like, I don't know, you know, 30 years older than I am. And he just looks at the two of us, and he just says, I swear to you, no condolences. He just says this, not for nothing. I got a humdinger of a movie idea I want to pitch you.
Hey, seize the moment, right?
So I say, like, all right, well, not now, Alan. And he goes, all right, your loss. Which,
not sorry for you.
No,
you
know, I mean.
I had just had a fairly big loss, you know, and now he's telling me it was piling on. And, you know, in the Jewish tradition, you have this thing called the Shivas. So I go back inside with my dad, and as soon as I got back inside, the guy's on me again. I swear, no writer's embellishment. The guy's on me immediately, and he says, I just don't want you to miss out, because this is a moment we can all profit. You can do well. I can do well. You got to let me tell you the movie. And
wow.
So I look at him, and I go, listen, dude, my mother, you're making me say it to you. My mom died 4 hours ago. I want your fucking movie idea. And you know, you got to admire this. He just looks at me and goes, when?
Wow.
What is this grieving thing going to be done?
He,
when?
His battle
so
cry.
I say,
yes.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, his battle cry is carpe bugum.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So he says, when? So I go, I don't know, man, like when the shiv is over, which is like a wake. It's 3 days, or someone online corrected me, it's 7 days, but we're not that related. It was 3 days for us. So he stays and he comes to the house because all the days of the shiva, and he's like tracking me everywhere that I go.
Two more days.
In my mother's house. Yeah, two more days, another 12 hours. And finally, my dad had a friend who was a rabbi, and I guess they did something where you walk around the house three times, and it's the end of it, so we do the thing. And, of course, I'm not thinking about this fucking guy. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get on with my life, go back to the city and think about all this. So as I'm walking to my car, the guy's right on me, and he's like, can I tell you the idea now? And I say, yeah. And he goes, you know, if you want kind of family, I'd make you sign an NDA.
Wow.
This is a great idea.
Like, yeah, so I go, I'm not signing an NDA. Alan, I'm just going to, and he goes, all right, I'll tell you. I said, what? This is a great idea that was going to be my loss. He goes, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, superheroes.
Oh, my God.
And that became Black Panther.
And by the way, they both love billions, according to the demographic.
So it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
That is so sick.
Yeah.
That's such a commentary on what's wrong with us in our country.
It really is.
And anything. Why are people so stupid? Because I was going to suggest set the meeting with the guy, hear the idea, and then kill him.
Yes, no. Well, the whole time, you know, Larry, the whole time you want to punch the guy in the face, right? You can't. But also, I will say, and this is the sick part of all, I know Corolla and Larry, all you guys, you know that even from the first moment I'm sitting there with my dad mourning, and the guy says not for nothing, and Humdinger in the same line. You know, as angry as I am, I know I'm going to tell the story forever.
Yeah.
Good
content.
Yeah.
I was immediately aware of the fact, and this says something bad about me maybe, but I was immediately aware of the fact that I would tell the story for the rest of my life.
And it was a gift
in a way.
The moment with Brian Koppelman is where you can hear the stories. New episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Just let it be known, Larry and Brian Koppelman, that the Corollas keep their mirrors covered with sheets full time because we just have super low self-esteem. Everyone's overweight, and no one likes their appearance. So we stand Shiva.
Yes. Wait, I want to give you one bit of bonus content that I didn't do on Twitter. Then everyone should watch Billions. And I love all you guys, and thanks for so much support. And this is also true, and I have it's all the rage to say, and I have contemporaneous witnesses who will tell you this isn't a writer's embellishment. That same day, some woman comes up to me at the thing again. My mother's been dead. By the time this happened, my mother maybe was dead 8 hours. And I swear to God, a woman came up to me and she said, I know what you're going through because my dog died a month ago.
Oh, I love those people.
You know what? That's so sad and sick. And what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's wrong with these stupid people? I know this is a sad moment for you, but whatever follows but there...
There should never be a but. There's no empathy in but.
Right. That's right.
Or at least.
That's right.
Yeah.
To be fair, I bet the dog cooked better than my mom. But still, I get what you're saying.
It's also so easy to just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. It's like, you watch Road Hard and you just say, I'm sorry for your loss. It's simple. You don't.
Thank you. I don't know when this started, but you rolled your ankle and then whoever approaches you needs to tell you a story about rolling their ankle. Mm-hmm. Or you got into a car crash. Now they got into a car crash. Or you got screwed over by a contractor. Now they got screwed over by a contractor. It's a weird thing, which is, first off, I would like to tell you my story, and what I'd like is some nodding and a little sympathy. I don't want to hear the time the same thing happened to you several months earlier. It's kind of a weird default setting. Billions, of course, season 3, this Sunday, June 10th, 9 o'clock Eastern, on Showtime, and of course,
the
moment. Love you, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Love you, pal.
We'll see you soon. Love you. The great Brian Koppelman, of course, Larry Miller. In studio, get the song, get Brian's Crap Upon song ready. I'll play you this first. Purple. I'll tell you about Purple. Quality of the sleep affects your quality of life. It's a big thing now. Everyone's learning about this. If you're constantly waking up tired, it may not be you. It may be your mattress. Time to try Purple. Purple, smart comfort grid, scientifically engineered to adapt to any body type or sleep position, actively cradles your shoulders and your hips while supporting your back for a zero-gravity feel. 100-night risk-free trial. That's over 3 months last time I checked. If you're not fully satisfied, return your mattress for a full refund and free shipping. I have this thing. I got the queen size and put it up on Natalia's riser I built, and then I plopped on it with Phil the Lab, and it was perfect. Shows up like you're sitting down, Dawson, like a giant burrito.
Nice.
A giant burrito, like a Cheech and Chong size burrito, just mass. And it's heavy, man. It is stout. Took that thing and rolled it out. Now, my listeners can get a free sheet set, mattress cover with purchase. Just go to purple.com/Adam. That's purple.com/Adam. All right. Let's see. Larry Miller's here. The Larry Miller Show, available on Apple Podcasts and Larry's website as well. There's movies coming out, a couple movies coming out. Lise Wheel is coming in. She's got all the skinny. She's written a book on hunting Charles Manson. God, that guy's dead, but she's going to give us some insights on that. Author of almost 20 books. Former legal analyst and correspondent for Fox News and NPR, all things considered. Former federal prosecutor for U.S. office.
You guys have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You finally met one of your peers.
Yeah, we probably know each other. We'll go over all the judges during the break. Yeah. It'll be funny. All right, and let's see. All right, let's play our latest Rich Banks offering.
Shooting, shooting, shooting. Point shooting, shooting, shooting. Point shooting, shooting, shooting. Point shooting, shooting, shooting. Ball bright. Keep shooting, shooting, shooting. On Adam's points he's shooting. Keep on disagreeing, Ball Brian. Every day on the podcast, bullshit you broadcast, pulling opinions out your ass. All his points you're missing, and on his rant you're pissing. Please go back to improv class. Shut him down.
Contradict.
Contradict.
Shut him down.
Shut him down.
Contradict.
Ball Brian. Cancel out.
Disagree.
Disagree.
Cancel out.
Cancel out. Disagree, Ball Brian.
It's not bad. It's
that might be his best
strong.
Work.
Strong, yeah. That's with assist from Mike Lynch out here, by the way.
That was great.
We got to make a stinger out of that. You know what I mean? For when I, you know,
I'm sure they're on it.
You need the whip crack, though.
That's right.
That's right. We have, I don't know why you have these little snippets of movies that always make you laugh, like Brian Koppelman and Larry Miller and Best in Show and stuff like that. Weird little snippets that might not even mean that much to somebody else and maybe shouldn't mean that much to you. But during Blues Brothers, when they're doing Rawhide and Belushi goes and finds the whip and he's cracking it, and he cracks it like 3 or 4 times. And at some point, they just show a woman trying to light a cigarette off stage just snaps it right out of her thing. It just made me laugh like every time I see that. Yeah. Another Belushi weird, the sort of non sequitur moment is in Animal House when the party's over and he's just sitting there on the stairs. And he takes a big thing of mustard. For no reason, he just dumps it on his chest. Like, that is like, party's over.
Yep, that's right.
I'm not getting laid. I'm bored.
Now what?
I have nothing to do. Yes. All right. There's a woman, Catherine from Connecticut, claims she ghost wrote the movie Titanic and Avatar.
Oh, my God.
And wants to break the news on this show, Catherine.
Yes, that's correct. Hello, Adam.
Hello. Please.
Have you called him before, Catherine?
No, I have not called in before.
Oh, well, welcome.
Please tell
us. Thank you. It's good to be here.
How you've ghostwritten both these movies.
My grandmother, 50 years my senior, was in love with writing as much as I was. And when I turned to her when I was 6 years old and I said, Gram, I always want to be a writer. You love all these books. You have them all on your shelves. Would you please teach me how to write? And she's like, oh, my gosh, Catherine, I'd be honored to. And so then she and I worked off of one another like pistons for an engine or however that is. And we just jammed out so many screenplays. You know, one of them was Titanic. I sold it to James Cameron for $2 million. He sent me many checks.
Hold on one second.
Oh.
There's a sweet spot of screenplays. Mm-hmm. Like when someone says, I've written 11 screenplays in 9 years. I go, wow, that's a prolific mother effer. Yeah. And if someone says, I wrote one in 11 years or 10 years, I go, you should be busy. But when someone says, I've written 2,600 screenplays in 10 years,
not a good sign.
You think it would be good? It's my same theory with jobs. Yeah. Like when you go, I have 3 jobs. I go, wow, you get paid less than one job. But if you have 9 jobs, it's actually pretty good. It just means you're on the board of a bunch of different places. There's a weird sweet spot with the screenplays.
It's a law of diminishing returns.
And Catherine, if this is correct, then you were in your, early 20s when you wrote this?
I was graduating from Mercy High School in Middletown, Connecticut, class of 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off for a second.
Hey, Catherine. Yeah,
she said too much.
Titanic 2.1. You don't have to get 2.2 billion and 2.8 billion for Avatar. Though Avatar doesn't make the rounds.
No, really,
on cable like Titanic.
No.
Titanic seems to always be on somewhere. Mm. Avatar doesn't pop up that much for a movie that's made close to $3 billion. I think it'd get a few more spins. All right. Sorry, Catherine.
Sure.
Sure. Let me ask you this, Catherine. I'm trying to paint a composite of you, okay?
So I was 18 years old when I, 17 years old, almost 18 years old when I wrote it. When I sold it, I was 18.
Okay. And you sent it to James Cameron?
My grandmother was my editor and agent. Mm-hmm. She transformed my ideas into the screenplays. She
Mine was my grandmother, by the way, is my pimp and choreographer.
Oh.
So we have the same kind of showbiz
grandma.
Similar.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. That's adorable. You must love her.
Yeah, and enforcer when she had to be.
The muscle.
Catherine, what's going on now? How alone are you?
How alone am I? I don't understand what you mean.
Who do you live with?
I live with my husband and my son and my upset.
And your other son.
And Catherine's dropping out.
All right. Catherine? Well, she's calling from Connecticut. What do you do for money now? You punch up sitcom scripts? Hello, Catherine? She had an air of crazy, which made me think that maybe... See, when you hear something that sounds far-fetched and grandiose, you want to hear the other person sound crystal clear on the other line.
The details and...
Yeah, she's had a sort of air of...
Specifics.
Crazy. Well, she had the grandma and the scripts and the stuff.
You're right, I'm saying, she sounded a little nuts.
But her claim was she wrote those scripts, she sent them to Cameron...
And you'd think that she'd keep going after Titanic and Avatar.
I was going to say, the most sought-after screenwriter in Hollywood.
What's Cameron got coming up?
Bald? Avatar 2.
Oh, all right.
He hasn't made a film since Avatar, and I believe his next project, Chris can verify this, but I think his next project is Avatar 2.
Does James Cameron...
And Avatar is his only movie since Titanic.
Does his body of work suffer because he's so interested in so many different things and wants to go explore the Marianas Trench in a diving bell that he doesn't do? Like, I feel like if you said to Steven Spielberg, hey, would you like to go 26,000 leagues under the sea? He'd go, fah, I'm finishing a script.
Hey, man.
But Cameron seems like so infinitely interested that... The idea of having him just sit in an office and bang out scripts sounds nothing like being on the high seas and pulling up wreckage from the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Well, and didn't he even say the reason I made that movie was so I could go down and explore? Like, that's his first love, is doing what he wants to do, and then he makes a movie around it to underwrite it.
Right.
I have many thoughts on James Cameron. My theory, he's never made a bad movie, which, think about, every director's up and down. He's never made a bad movie. Now, you can say, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, or Piranha, whatever. Yeah, yes, he cranked out a movie to get his career started, fine. But Aliens and Terminator and Terminator 2 and True Lies and Avatar and Titanic, he only makes good to great movies, and he's not making enough. The guy's been cranking out movies every 2-3 years. The guy's a creative genius, regardless of what you think of him. He makes great movies, and we should get more of them.
Yes, but he's not just a creative genius. Yeah. He's a genius, and thus he wants to explore the ocean floor.
Yeah. Can't give a guy like that focused.
And ultimately, maybe we should have him doing more of that and less making movies, because that might save the planet. Right. Max Pattis, something to say?
I just I'm confirming with Brian, he is doing Avatar 2 now. That's his next project.
Do we need that from James Cameron? This creative genius, by any stretch of the imagination, any standard, the guy's a creative
genius. And 3, 4, 5 are already greenlit, too.
Any movie that made $2.8 billion,
of course they're gonna.
Which is maybe the record.
That is the highest grossing.
Then if we are making Land of the Lost into a movie, which didn't gross a whole lot on my TV set when I was growing up, then the idea that the highest grossing movie of all time and Hollywood is not cranking that shit out is unthinkable. All right. I don't know if Catherine's still back on. Catherine.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever met James Cameron?
I met him over the phone.
And what did he say to you?
I wrote the skeleton outline and major comments for each Avatar, from Avatar to 4 to 6 Avatars. James Cameron and I wrote them in the fall season of 2005.
So maybe she can give us a heads up on something to look
for. Are you in the loop for Avatar 2?
Well, yes, I am, but I mean, obviously that wouldn't be kind to say anything.
Are you a wealthy woman?
I'm mind-blowingly wealthy.
Oh, wow.
What kind of car do you drive?
I have a Mustang.
Sure.
What if it's
that
the
narrows
origi-
it down to
original?
$1,500 to $100,000. What year is your... Is it the Bullet Mustang as featured in the Steve McQueen movie Bullet, in which case it'd be worth $4 million, or is a Mustang 2 as featured in Charlie's Angels circa 1979? A lot of range in the Mustangs. I could find you the Bullet Mustang that's $4 million, and I could go on eBay and find one for under $900. So you just saying I drive a Mustang does not narrow it down much for me.
What? She meant a horse.
Yes. What is your most valuable possession?
Myself.
Don't say
there it
kids.
Is. Okay.
You know what? Good answer.
Your creativity.
Good answer. So if I harvested your organs, what do you think? How big is your home? Does your husband work?
My home is 2,500 square feet. In Connecticut.
Okay. Connecticut. Your husband works? Does your husband work?
He works like a playboy. He doesn't work like he's earning money.
Oh. Uh-huh.
The evidence day trading in her favor?
Yes. Like an overweight, balding playboy who can't get laid?
He actually just got in shape, and he looks really good.
Oh. All right. For a fat guy who's bald?
Well, he used to be a fat guy that was balding, and he is a bit balding, but I don't know why. I just find him so charming looking.
I love that. And what if I asked him, what would he say he does?
He's a pain in my ass, he would tell you.
No, what would he say? If I was at a bar and I'm sitting next to him and I said, what do you do?
What line are you in?
What would he say?
I pull the wool over my wife's eyes.
No.
What does he put on his taxes?
All right, crazy lady. I'm going to hang up on you if you don't answer my question honestly.
Was that a good enough answer?
Okay.
All right. My technique was always like when they go like, this guy doesn't do this, or this, my son's a lazy and no count, or, you know, he just comes in there and starts fights with me for no reason right. whatsoever. I mean, the other day I was just watching Jeopardy. He came up and kneed me in the nuts for no reason. You know, I always say, if I asked him, what would he say? Because he wouldn't say, I just walked into the room and kneed my dad right. in the nuts for no reason. Right. He would say, and then usually when you say that, you go, well, we did kind of have an argument, and I did throw something. I threw an urn at him earlier that day. And it's like, okay, all right, now we're starting to get. So I like to do the what would he say. But if you're going to keep going down the road where I'm just a sugar daddy, or I'm my wife's bitch, or I pull the wool over her eyes, then
we're done here.
We're done here. All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll get on with our lives. Castrol Edge, it is fluid titanium technology brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with the best synthetic ingredients ever. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance, three times stronger. Three times!
Three right. times, fool!
Against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. Gina, do you have a question? Do we have a question?
Who's got a question? I have a question for you. This is from Instagram. This is Jason LaChance, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, what has been your favorite challenge about racing competitively? Driving techniques, setups, how they relate to one another? He wants to know.
I like getting in all kinds of different kind of cars, but I must say, doing a professional Trans Am race with a professional team with, you know, computers and backups and scales and diagnostics and having like people that were professional and trained at their job, you know, like where the car would come off the track and they'd raise it up and some guy would get a computer and he'd hook it up to some bung that was like on the car and get the readout and then start changing like spring rates and getting tire temperatures and checking all the tire pressures and just being with a like a world class professional team, and then driving in a car that was like a world class piece of machinery, people are constantly talking about how fast you're going, how fast you're going, how fast you're going, how fast you're going. It's a stupid question. It's when you're driving a really precision, professional, modern race car, 160 something miles an hour feels like nothing. And when you're driving a pile of crap that your stoner buddies slapped together and you pushed out on a track, 125 feels deadly. And so it's all kind of that.
Relative.
But going to Willow Springs, having the semi truck, having the big canopy that came out over the thing, and driving a professional Trans Am car in a professional Trans Am race made me feel as good as I ever want to do it. As a matter of fact, the vintage stuff, while it's slower and older, is kind of scarier because it feels so raw and so weird and so like flying a barnstormer versus a state-of-the-art private jet. There you go. All right. Hope
Satisfying.
I answered that. Lise Wheel is coming in. Two names. Hunting Charles Manson. Mm-hmm. The Quest for Justice in the Days of Helter Skelter. She's written a book. It's available now on Amazon. And if you bookmark us and go through Amazon and get Lisa's book, you can help us all over here. Let's see. Larry Miller, everybody. The podcast, The Larry Miller Show, available on Apple Podcasts and Larry's website as well. Larry Miller. podcast.com is where you can go, and movies coming up. Keep an eye out for that. We'll bring Larry in when it comes time to do that. Good to see you, my friend.
Same here.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the Lise Wheel right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands on the Beach, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes.
Tonight, I'm going out straight till dawn.
Loxy.
Follow your woman through the weather, yeah.
The Smoking Kills.
Just another Southern California.
The Beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble.
You couldn't tell by now.
Headlines, Bands on the Beach.
You need to say it.
July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach.
Did I change my mind?
For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights, riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans, and welcome to the newest and last episode of the week of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. Go check out the Dave Damashek football program if you want to hear some hot pro football talk as summer is upon us and pro football's kickoff. It's not too far down the line, Ace. Very exciting. We're about, 3 months away, really. It's coming up here now.
Yeah, the only problem is the inevitable 20 pounds that gets packed on.
Well, now you have nothing. You have plenty of free time to work out because I know baseball's not going to distract you. So, in the meantime, about one of the very final distractions that we have until we have nothing but baseball, until football arrives, is horse racing. The Triple Crown is concluding tomorrow if you're listening to us on Friday. And I know so little about it, Gary. I no jive. I like to not jive anybody. Who is the horse that's winning?
Justify.
Justify.
I should know that by the odds here. Ace, you legendarily, in my book, back in 2006, observed that many thoroughbreds had names that would be good names for your wiener, for your wang. You said good for the wang, good for the stang. We'll get into that in just a minute here. In the meantime, Gary, how did you and Dylan behind the glass cooked up a little game here?
We sure did. Dylan's going to administer it, and you guys can both pick. We have a list here of horse names, and you will determine whether or not they are real or fake.
Okay, go ahead.
First up, Arthur of Colwich.
That's real.
That's definitely fake.
That's fake.
Arthur of Colwich. That was a little bit of a reach right out of the gate.
Okay, great start. Great start. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Touched by Glory.
I'm going to go real.
I'll go fake.
Tied up, boys. That's fake.
Ah, well done.
This is not a good name for the Wang. Seldom seen.
Now, it's weird because horse names are so sort of inane now. And my thought is, as someone who knows something about psychology, is like, well, why would you come up? If you're making up a fake horse name, you'd come up with a better fake horse name than seldom seen.
You're digging in on the psychology of Dylan.
So
I say,
but he's proven himself to be elusive. Mm. I'll say real name.
I'm going to say real too, because the standard I'm applying is the first two were fake, so he can't have three straight fakes, right?
Can we?
Ooh.
No, we can't. It's real.
It's real.
Still tied up. Next up, touched by autism.
I'm going to just put an asterisk here and say I wish it was real, but I'll say fake.
Ditto.
Real horse.
No way.
It's real.
Touched by autism is the name of a horse?
First place finishes with career earnings of $153,000.
We discovered this horse while we were trying to make sure that Touched by Glory was not an actual horse.
I like that you had to fact check your made up names.
And we had a few that we made up that were actually real.
Champagne on ice, real horse. Anyways, pasteurized is the fifth one.
Well, that's got to be fake.
Pasteurized.
Wow, it's kind of smart, kind of interesting. It's no.
It is. Yeah, you're right. It is clever. Too clever.
Yeah, it's not as good as the grass company that they make the grass and bring it out to your home and roll it out in the Van Nuys area, known as the Marquis de Sade, which I enjoy a lot. I always love a turn of phrase.
I liked in Boys Town in Chicago, in Boys Town, you know, all the bars had names that had double entendres. My favorite was the loading dock, and in the front window there's a big sign, all deliveries in the rear.
Oh, nice. I worked with a guy named Russ that had a Nevada shirt, and I miss all these shirts. And it's a bygone era because we never let anyone go to work in one of these shirts. But when you work construction, you can wear whatever T-shirt you want. Had some kind of gambling hall, casino, whatever, Pahrump, Nevada. And it was always liquor in the front, poker in the rear. It's good, right?
It works.
All right, I'm going to go pasteurize is real.
Ace Man wins the game. Pasteurize. Belmont Stakes winner in the 30s.
Very
be talking
nice.
Talking about this in years to come.
So Justify, that's one of those things, too. I couldn't even tell you. I mean, pretty much my entire waking life, I remember Secretariat. Oh, no horse has ever won the Triple Crown since Secretariat. And then a horse did it a couple years ago, and it just was like, oh, so that happened. And now I couldn't even tell you who that horse was. I don't know who finally broke that
American drought. Pharaoh?
Is that right? You knew that off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Good.
Good for you. Very nice. Now, Justify has a chance at doing the Triple Crown himself, I'm guessing. Fella horse. Ace, who do you like here? What's the best one based? I'm not even going to tell you the odds. I'm just going to tell you the horse's name. Free Drop Billy.
That's all right. It's a little bit of a mouthful in the bedroom.
Nope. Noble Indy. He's his own wiener.
It's not bad.
Kind of like that Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Blended citizen.
It's interesting if someone of mixed race.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tenfold.
It's good, but you better be packing 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to pull out 5 1/8 yeah. with your tenfold.
It's exactly. Back to the old Champ and Boss Bailey comparison. Like, it's great that Champ and Boss Bailey made it to the NFL. Had they been janitors, though, sadly ironic. Hey, Champ.
Right,
stall right. number 3 is clogged up. Can you get the plunger on that?
Yeah. Lawyer Malloy would have had some difficulties in the sanitation world as well. You know what I mean?
Vino Rosso.
Hold on. I could make some hay, pardon the pun, out of this tenfold, which is, yeah, I'm saying tenfold. I say I double it up, I fold it over, and I get 10. I don't know if that would work.
I don't know if that's arousing for your lady, but right. Hoffberg. Justify is, that sounds like you're making excuses, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's like this because, you don't want that. And I don't want to answer for you, but my personal favorite, it's pretty obvious, Bravazo.
Bravazo, that's my favorite.
That's your
too.
Wiener?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going with Bravazo.
That's the wang and the stang that you'll wear the... horseshoe-shaped flower thing, or whatever they give you when you win the Belmont Stakes. There you have it from Adam Carolla, Bravazo, soon to be your Belmont Stakes 2018 champion. All right, so are we wrapping it up here? All right, you know what? I think we've done gangbusters work this week in the games of sport and, more importantly, the game of life. Make sure if you missed any of those episodes, you go back and listen to them all. Gangbuster stuff as usual from Adam Carolla. By the way, I got to tell you, apropos of nothing, you run around, you meet people in Hollywood, you take these meetings, whatever. It's crazy how much, since we started doing good sports, people say, oh, yeah, you do stuff with Adam Carolla. Funny guy. I mean, the all-time funniest, the all-time fight. Really. I say all the time to people, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they somehow know Kimmel. And they said, Kimmel's the thing that Kimmel says behind Carolla's back is that he's not nice. No, is that he is that you're the fastest person he's ever known with a joke. I say that only half gets it. What you can do is, I've met people, and you know them too, Ace, who can conjure a joke or 5 jokes. You have 60 seconds to come up with 10 jokes on this subject. You can do that with the best of them, Hench, Barbieri, guys like that. But the thing with you is, you can do 20 minutes on a subject that you've never considered. I could hold up an object and say, what do you think about this? And you could do 20 minutes of solid gold material on it. I've never known your equal.
Oh, love you, Sheck.
I say it just so I can have that. But that is that. But sincerely, that's true. And people are aware of it in 2018. I go out everywhere. Boy, Adam Carolla. Oh, what a mind.
Just to answer your question you asked off the air before the show, I've given it some consideration. You can have half of my pastrami sandwich. And I'm sure those two thoughts weren't connected.
Does it have chicken on it?
Yes, we've added chicken. Perfect. And ranch for dipping.
Perfect. All right, so there it is, your week in hot sports talk here on Good Sports. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, once again, go check out Dave's of Thunder and Dave Damashek football program, all the rest of it. We'll talk to you next week. For now, Podcast One out.